It will look better after a while.
Get moved out of the drawer too.
Traditionally, keep things in relationship.
I realize that.
No. I'm not interested.
Call this meeting to order. It's the ocean.
Changes, or?
We had some additional items that were put on the desk. All right, if there's no additions or changes to the agenda item. Actually, would anybody object? Well, I would say normally from now on, except for tonight because we have some recusals on the will serves. In the future, putting will serves under the consent agenda. Okay. Then is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move that we accept the agenda.
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Moving on to item number 5, public comment. Are there any speaker forms this evening, Mr. Keefe?
No, sir.
All right. Is there any public comment this evening? Mr. Edwards, good afternoon or good evening. Oh, we need a little quick instruction here. Marie, have you been taught how to use the 3-minute timer?
I have.
Okay.
Got that part.
All right, thanks. Go ahead, Jeff.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I wanted to touch base on just a couple things. One, as you know, the economy is improving dramatically, and unemployment rates are coming down. There was a Trib article in early June that indicated the San Luis Obispo County unemployment rate was, I think, between 5 and 6%. So that's all looking good. Unfortunately, I think the Oceano unemployment rate is still in double digits. I don't know that for a fact, but my suspicion is it's hovering just above 10%. And jobs that's the key phrase right now and the most important thing to pursue, I think. So, again, as I've mentioned in the past, to the extent that you're able to craft your decision-making and shape your decisions, it would be good to keep jobs in mind. I also wanted to mention to you, as you're probably aware, we had a presentation on the Highway 1 and 13th Street drainage project. Unfortunately, for reasons that I've discussed at that presentation and so forth, I've elevated the decision-making on that from the Board of Supervisors to the California Coastal Commission. So they'll be taking that up in the not-too-distant future, I'm sure. It was made pretty clear at the June 4th Board of Supervisors meeting that this project was not going to produce positive results or really be a fix for the island and the drainage problems that have been seen there historically, particularly the December 2010 flood. So, as I've mentioned, the Highway 1 and 13th Street at $2.7 million is really an expensive Band-Aid. And my ultimate fear is that after the county spends that $2.7 million in combination with the $9 million for the Arroyo Grande Creek Waterway Management Plan, you know, they could say, well, we spent almost $12 million on Oceano and you know, have a nice day. And, you know, with little results, actually, at the end of the day. So that's my concern. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right. Seeing none, we'll close public comment. We'll move on to we'll skip item number 6 as there are no special presentations. Move on to item number 7. The first is the consent agenda, A, review and approval of minutes. We have May 22nd and 2 June 26th meetings.
I'm going to abstain from the 26th.
June 26th. Okay, why don't we break those out and we'll just do A1, which is the May 22nd, 2013 regular meeting approvals. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes from May 22nd, 2013 as submitted.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Director Lucy was abstaining. But
no,
all in favor.
On June 26th.
On June 26th. Oh, excuse me. That's right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Those carry 4-0. Moving on to items number 7A2 and...
Mr. President.
Go ahead.
This item was carried over from the last meeting because Director White had recused herself.
Yeah, I was just... Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I have to recuse myself.
Because you weren't here?
I was only here for half of the meeting.
Okay. Then why don't we do this a three-way vote? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Motion carries 3-0.
I hadn't voted.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Item 7A, 2, and 3, the June 26 regular and special meetings. Are there any comments or is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes for June 26, 2013 as presented.
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Carries 3-0. Moving item.
One abstention.
And with one abstention from Director Lucy, who was not present. Moving on to item number 7B, the cash warrants. And I think there was an updated cash warrants that you sent, Jocelyn, is that correct?
I'm sorry.
You'd sent an updated cash warrants?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Is there any discussion on those?
In the last 30 days, we've responded to 950 calls for service and self-initiated activity by our deputies. A little bit of rise in general theft, most of it from unlocked vehicles, a few window smashes to vehicles as well. Everything else has been kind of stable at about the same level as it was last month. The increase in general crime is probably due to the increase in people visiting our area. At least that's what we're assuming. Most significantly to mention this in this meeting is the homicide that occurred on the 21st of June. The Sheriff's Office received a call of a fight in progress. We had multiple officers responding to it, and we actually made it on scene from the initial call in 45 seconds. The gentleman perished and started an investigation that lasted about 48 hours until we identified a person of interest. That person was taken into custody on unrelated charges, and the investigation is ongoing. Commander Taylor wanted me to reiterate to you members of the board and the citizens of Oceano that you're still safe. One homicide does not reflect on the entire community, and this was an isolated incident. Just a general reminder, the theft increasing with the transient population, not transient meaning homeless, but transient meaning visiting, can really be curtailed by just a little bit of caution on the parts of the residents of Oceano, meaning lock your vehicles, don't leave anything of value sitting out open that people can see through the windows, because most of these crimes are occurring when generally people are asleep between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. Walking by, looking in a car, seeing something of value, smash the window, take the thing of value, and then we have another report, and it's very difficult to solve. So be safe and be cautious, lock up everything, and try not to make yourself a good target for the people that are committing these crimes. Does anybody have any questions for me?
Thank you, Sergeant Wells, and I'll say don't leave your badge and your gun in the car, probably.
Very funny. Thank you.
Thank you, Sergeant. Moving on to item 8B, Five Cities Fire Authority, and we have Rick, Chief Heath. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening, Honorable Directors, President Guerrero, Ricky Heath, Five Cities Fire. This last month, we ran 71 incidents out of Oceano Station. 17 of those incidents were out in the dunes. One was an individual whose girlfriend, I believe, caught his tent on fire, and a couple of vegetation fires. We also went to a fuel tank explosion over off the pike where a gentleman was cutting a tank open and the fuel ignited, but he was fine. He suffered a cut on the forehead. That's all we had.
All right.
How fast does a tent burn?
You know, I imagine it's like shrink wrap. I don't know. I wasn't there, so...
And what's the fire truck, the off-road unit, we've got that apparatus, that thing's been repaired, the four-wheel drive white truck.
The patrol?
The patrol vehicle.
Yeah, Patrol 61, we just recently put new wheels and tires on it. It cost us close to $7,000.
Okay.
Special design wheels and tires for Dunes Response specifically.
Will that lessen the amount of time it takes to let air in and out, or... Okay.
Those tires are designed, for both. You can't drive very fast on the highway, but it makes response much more efficient.
Great.
Yes.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Ricky, I just have a quick question.
Sure.
That truck was jointly bought between State Parks and Recs and OCSD before the JPA. And is there any discussion about, I know the maintenance has always been OCSD's responsibility, and now it's the JPA's continuing to be, but has there been discussion with the state regarding maybe working a little bit closer with the fire department since you have so many calls out onto the beach?
Chief Huber's been working with state parks to try and secure some in-lieu fees from the state parks area. We do have some major ticket items coming up. We need to look at replacing the transmission and also the front axle, because going off the dunes, it kind of started to bend the axle in the front.
Yeah.
But I think we'll be successful in,
great,
in getting some secure, some help.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Karen and I had a great meeting with the Chief, Chief Hubert. Was it a week and a half ago, Karen?
Yeah.
Yeah, a week and a half ago, we had a really good meeting with Chief Hubert. So it's great to know you guys are there. Thanks. Be careful. I think the Arizona stuff reminds us how dangerous it can be to be a firefighter. So be careful. Thanks, Chief.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Moving on to item 8C, OCSD operations. Gary.
Thank you. Well, you've received the written operations report, and I wanted to highlight a little few of these things. We have a need to replace a rather large water meter in the system, and as it turns out, it's rather heavy, and we were looking to rent a crane, natural gas-fired pump at the booster station that really can do the job of maintaining system pressure. Problem is, the pump hasn't been operated for many years, so we pull the pump, it's being remilled, the volume is still good, so it's basically a bearing and shaft problem. And the engine has water in the radiator, and oil in the radiator and water in the crankcase, we had the heads pulled, and we're getting them machined and pressure tested and things like that. Based on what the motor still ran, by the way, quite well. So based on that, our assumption is that for not very much money, we're going to be able to get that booster thing going, and then we can take a little more time in determining how we're going to go about dealing with the well number 8 panel.
Is that the old Waukesha motor?
Yeah, it's a little Waukesha.
Yeah.
Some of these things that you're going to be dealing with tonight involve budget adjustments. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because during the meeting when we approved, when the board approved the last fiscal year's overall budget adjustment, I detected some concern on the part of the board. I want to convey the idea that budget adjustments are normal activity in government. They haven't been done with the frequency that I'm used to seeing in my past experience. They were done at department head levels unless you got to the point where there was a program that was actually going into the red. In other words, if you had a line item that had surplus funds because an incident didn't happen that was projected, it could be used to balance a line item that had a deficit. Mm-hmm. And it's a fairly common thing. And what we're proposing is that in situations like that, staff come to the board quarterly with budget adjustments so that you get a feel for how the funds are flowing and what's going on in that fund. And you won't be surprised at the end of the year with a large budget adjustment. There are also budget adjustments that are going to come at the end of the year, though, that have to do with, I guess, the audit and things like that. And it all will be triggered based on the time that you close the books and things like that. But budget adjustments are not abnormal. It's typically the way government does business, so that you end up with a balanced budget. Okay. That concludes my comments.
Thank you, sir. The next reports would be the Board of Directors and Outside Committees. Director Angelo?
I'm going to refer to Mary since we're both at the same meeting and start with the roll.
Why don't we go there first then?
And you do personnel then.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Lori and I attended the Northern Cities Management. I can't figure out what the A is for, but anyway. The Northern Cities Management Organization, and we had The main focus of the group is, what I can gather, is to get characterization of the Santa Maria groundwater basin. And so the entities have come together, our sister agencies, you know, cities around us, and have come and kind of collectively pulled themselves together to monitor the wells, to see, to make sure that we continue to keep the well as healthy as possible. There were several transducers, which I'm not quite sure what they're supposed to do yet, but I thought they were kind of more like sonar, where they bounce off the walls and kind of tell you the health of the area that you're looking at underneath the ground. I wish it did that. So they're very focused on monitoring the groundwater, and considering that the south, you know, the coast of California has so much salt water, it's just unbelievable. And so it's of utmost importance that the groundwater basin be kept healthy. And so Oceano has, I think for some of us, reluctantly pulled back on groundwater pumping, and that is 900 acre feet is what the courts have determined what Oceano's allocation is. And so in order to keep the tanks full and things like that, we'll pump our groundwater there. So traditionally, the board has not been involved in this level of the organization, but because of staff turnover and stuff. And it's actually been easier for Lori and I, being the water reps, to see the complete picture of Oceano's water, where we're spending the most of our money on which sources. And so we spent a lot of time talking about why past leadership of Oceano had for us to take into serious consideration the WSC contract, because our budget is so tight, and we are trying to live within our means, not impress our neighbors. We're able to seriously look at the contracts that are of value to us, so our engineer and things like that. So the more we can recoup funds that were not needed to be spent in the first place, I think the healthier the district becomes in strategically. So hopefully that was helpful to people, and they know all about the water now.
Thank you, Mary. Lori?
Mary and I both attended a personnel committee yesterday. And we went through a lot of the applications for the general manager's position. And we have gone through several packets for the general manager replacement. And we have narrowed it down to a lesser pile, and we are scheduling to do interviews with the remaining ones that we've selected at this time. I don't know that we've got a date yet for that. Okay. So that was what we did yesterday.
How many resumes did we receive? 55?
50 at least. Yeah.
About 55 applications for general manager for the area of Oceano. I know you're surprised, Mr. Edwards. I'm sure pleasantly.
About a quarter of our population. But that's all I had for personnel today.
I attended the Sanitation District meeting last Wednesday. And for those of you who don't know, they have been moved. We're on a rotation to try to encourage public participation. It is now at the Arroyo Grande City Hall, where they have their meetings. A couple of things came out of it. One is that we're going to have a protest hearing, if there is one, a public hearing regarding the budget, which is set to be adopted at the next meeting, which is next Wednesday, the 17th of July. The other thing is that we're setting up a finance committee to review the finances, to review the needs of the district. And so I am going to be the liaison. I volunteered to be the liaison with the staff at the sanitation plant. They asked if we could get any member agency buy-in. And so good news, bad news, Jocelyn, when you're good at something, people keep asking you to work. So I didn't volunteer you, but I did ask that they call you and see, and Gary, of course, and see if you'd be available to help us go through the budgets and such and figure out.
Okay.
So you guys can talk it over. Matt Haber will be calling you to see if that works. So the plan is continuing to run well. The numbers are still low. The sewer plant during the power outage responded well. The staff responded, got the generators going. No spills this time. So that's the upside. Move on to Director White.
Yes. I didn't attend any meetings except for I did meet with the fire chief, with Mr. Guerrero, as I have been appointed to the board of the Five Cities Fire Authority, of which I am very excited. And we had a very interesting meeting. There's a lot of things to learn. I've been reading. I do have some background in fire, so it will aid me on knowing sort of what they're doing. Anyway, thank you for letting me serve on that board.
You're going to find that's a fun committee.
Yes.
Yeah, it really is. Move on to go
Mr.
ahead.
President, would you mind giving me the opportunity to go back to item C?
Of course.
Her mention of the fire district. I wanted to update you on this modular unit here next to the building. The staircase and the handicap mm-hmm. ramp are failing. I'm sure you know that. I know you knew about the stairs. Mm-hmm. I guess the handicap ramp may be a new thing. So we are looking at we're having a contractor repair that. We're going out to get quotes. We've received one quote. To do the stairs and the ramp is about $4,100. And then to put rain gutters on the modular unit so that the new ramp doesn't rot away like this one did, it would be about another $900. So we're looking at something around $500. And of course, that or $5,000. And that may change based on the other quotes that we get. And when we get around to doing that, that's going to require one of those budget adjustments that I was talking about. So that's imminent. That'll be coming to you soon.
It seems that that's kind of a standard height, a standard option. I mean, is there pre-made aluminum rails or stairs that we can get that are just set in place? Do you
mm-hmm.
know? Good evening again.
Your meetings are moving along so quickly these days. Thank you, Mr. President. Jeff Edwards again, board members. Thank you. I wanted to cover a few things very quickly, and it could be somewhat random. It's unfortunate to hear about the sheriff's report. 30 calls a day, over 30 calls a day. That's staggering, and I think it ties to some of those questions of jobs and unemployment rates and so forth, as we've discussed before. There's the new legal counsel RFP mm-hmm. that you're going to consider later, and I'd like to make a couple suggestions in that regard. Number one, perhaps specify some background in water law, since you folks that's kind of what you do. Also, some background in labor law, and particularly as it relates to unions. As you know, you may be facing that situation, and so it'd be good to have somebody on board that has some expertise in that area. About your meetings, you're going to consider limiting your meetings to 3 hours. I would suggest that you consider having one meeting a month. And that way you can reduce your AGP costs, you can reduce legal counsel and staff costs and so forth. So one meeting a month works for some other service districts, community services districts, so it might be worth considering for yours. It may go a little longer than 3 hours per meeting, but even if you had one four-hour meeting per month, that would be a lot better than 2 3-hour meetings. So that's a suggestion there. Also, you have the WSC contract on your agenda. For all the reasons I've discussed before, the first question is, what's the end game? What's in it for Oceano to continue with this whole NCMA process? On your cash disbursements, you're paying GEI some more money. I know you agreed to that, but it just keeps adding up. Between the lawyers' bills, the special counsel, and so forth, what is the end game? I think that's about it. That's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. I do have a request for public comment from April McLaughlin. Good evening, April.
Hi, guys. I'm here to talk about item 10G, the Oceano Farmers Market. And while I'm not really going to address the dissolution, which I'm anticipating eagerly, I would like to remind the public that the next Farmers Market meeting is Thursday, July 18th at the Rock and Roll Diner at 6:30 p.m. We now have a post office box for mailing address so that we can take solicitations and donations. We have a bank account now to deposit that money. We got our first donation already this month. We're very excited about that. And we're in the process of filing our articles of incorporation. We have a tax ID number, and we're in the process of filing the form, IRS form 1024 for nonprofit status. So with all that in mind, we hope to see you at our next meeting and for the next farmers market to open in Oceano.
Not so fast, April. April.
Oh,
not so fast. What is the P.O. box?
P.O. box is 982 Oceano.
Okay.
93475, and we can be abbreviated with OCFM because we are keeping the name Oceano Community Farmers Market.
Okay, so donations can go to OCFM. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if anyone's aware why, but someone else opened a P.O. box at the Oceano Post Office under the name Oceano Farmers Market, and we don't know why. And that was back in March. So please make sure you do it to box 982. That's ours.
Thank you very much, April. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right, seeing none, we'll close public comment, move on to the business items. The first item is 10A, Review and Discuss Diversified Project Services International Contract for Engineering Services, otherwise known as DPSI. is there any other comments, Gary, on this?
I can go over the highlights in the staff report if you'd like.
Sure, why don't
the
you
board,
do that?
You received an engineering proposal from DPSI on February 27th of this year. District Legal Counsel Chase Martin has negotiated the contract that you have before you, the scope of services provide for general engineering and engineering consulting for the district. The consultants will commence performance on any given service within 5 days of notice by the district, and the agreement will remain in effect at will until terminated, and then the termination agreement is calls for termination for any reason by notifying the consultant in writing 15 days prior to the termination. The district is obligated to pay the consultant for services performed on a time and material basis in accordance with the schedule set forth in the exhibit in the contract, consultant will not charge for mileage within that is driven in the county. And the district will be allowed to examine any expenses greater than $7,500 if the consultant seeks to pass a direct
firm. Having a consultant versus a firm on is just a little unsettling. So I'm really glad that we're at this point of getting this done, and so I'm supporting it.
I'm supporting it as well. Karen, do you have any comments you want to?
No,
add?
I just we need an engineering.
Absolutely.
I mean, engineering services are.
And we've our business.
Doug's had quite a lengthy interview if you go back over the number of years that he's been working for us. So.
Yeah, and we need him when we need him.
That's right.
I would also add that Doug was really easy to work with, and it was kind of generous of him to waive any mileage within county. I mean, that's something that a lot of your vendors do. I do that, but I'm assuming that his firm does charge mileage to most of his clients. He waived that. So he was easy to work with. It's a good contract. It's favorable to the district.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Is there a motion to approve the staff recommendation?
I'll make a motion to approve staff recommendations for the agreement for contract for engineering services for Diversified Project Services International.
Right. Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Is there any opposed? All right. Motion carries.
Do a roll call.
It's
a contract.
We need a roll call vote, Chase?
I think that you should do a roll call for that.
Okay, we'll do a roll call. Lori made the motion.
Director Lucy, or Director Angelo?
Here, yes.
Vice President?
Yes.
Lucy. Director White?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. Okay, motion carries 4-0. Again, welcome aboard again, Doug. Thanks very much. Look forward to working with you.
If you have any downtime, just let me know.
We got lots to do. And
for you.
He's got children, so. Moving on to item number 10B, the request for proposal process and timeline to fill the district legal counsel vacancy. As we discussed last time, we're losing Chase. Molly moved to New Mexico a while back. We're actually excited for Chase. We didn't really tell everybody what happened, but he's going to the district attorney's office.
Yeah.
It starts August 5th. I look forward to going head-to-head with him rather than working side-by-side with him.
We need to sell tickets for that.
Yeah. At this point, I got a little more experience, so I got the over-under.
Yeah, yeah.
He usually has the facts, but I'm going to...
No, you'll do great.
Chase and I are going to rack one.
You won't see me.
No. I don't anticipate seeing any of you, except for you.
So, not to go too much on it, but there were 300 applicants for one job, and Chase prevailed.
Very
so.
Good.
So the expectations are high for him. So... We're going to miss him. We developed a close working relationship, but I think like we're viewing a lot of our changes at the OCSD. We're looking at this as an opportunity to grow, and Chase and I have been discussing at length what we both believe is necessary and desirable in our next attorneys, and that's reflected in this RFP. Community service district, water, labor, I mean, those things that Mr. Edwards addressed, and those are all things that are on the forefront of our minds and are part of our vetting process. We've been receiving inquiries. We've been making inquiries outbound to see if people are interested and what their qualifications are and what they think that we need. And so Chase and I have met numerous times, including today, so about this issue. So with Chase, do you want to talk about the RFP, or do you want to see if the board has any questions on it at this point?
I'll just...
Okay. Stab me in the face with this microscope.
Your first prosecution.
Yeah. You're going down for that.
Yeah.
I'll see you in court on Monday. Okay. You better stay gone then, I think.
There'll be a warrant.
Director Guerrero and I have been talking at length, and also with Director Lucy, Mr. Keefe and I have also talked about it, kind of the need for your next attorney to have a lot of experience in CSD law, municipal law. I think that Mr. Edwards' comments are well taken. Water law, yes. Labor law, yes. Unfortunately, a lot of those, to be specialists in all of that stuff is tough. Typically, what I found is that if you have if you're a niche practitioner in municipal law and you're familiar with CSD law, you tend to learn about the water and labor stuff as you go along. I have every belief that your guys are going to get a really good lawyer. And I think if you pass this RFP. We can get that process started soon so that you're not without a lawyer for very long. I will say that although I'll be gone after this Friday,
RFP, but
yeah, I am uncomfortable with talking to people on the telephone.
Okay.
Just because you don't get a full range of what they're talking about.
Well, those don't need to be addressed in the RFP. Those are things that you can take up with your new attorney when you hire that firm or that individual, whoever it may be. Okay. Those are new policies that you can... Actually, it's a good thing because with our leaving, you'll have an opportunity to start with a clean slate and you can get together as a board and talk about what your expectations are in terms of the time you want your new attorney to spend here. So... If it isn't, a phone call-in kind of thing, it could be something else. Mm-hmm. So,
right. These are just things to think about. I wanted to throw these out in a meeting. Do we only have the attorney come once or not at all unless we need them? Do we have them phone in? These are some options. Depending upon who our next general manager is, they can be the parliamentarian. Some of these, like which we were using our attorney for, is a parliamentarian. Gary is very... comfortable with the meeting, So
it is a little pricey though to use the attorney as the parliamentarian.
It is.
And other CSDs around here, some of them do that, some of them don't. But given that we're trying to save money, I think you guys have a, it's a really good opportunity to try to start fresh and decide exactly what you want your new attorney firm to do and what you want them to be.
So I'd like the board to think about that.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it would whether they're here or not could also depend on the agenda.
Correct.
You know, if we have
the assumption is that your attorney will show up for closed session items. So, which actually, in a roundabout way, ties in with something we're going to be talking about later tonight, which is the meeting format and things like that. Some CSDs I've noticed will have closed session at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're getting a little bit off topic, but that's another cost saver you could do. Your attorney could show up at the beginning of the meeting for the closed session and then leave. Anyway. So I do recommend you you pass the RFP. It would start the process tomorrow, I think, is
yes,
what I...
That's the timeline that's proposed.
And so then the timeline gets running, and you guys get a new attorney in here, start getting resumes and applications in ASAP.
Could I say one more thing?
Please.
There's some rare use of capital letters in this RFP. There's typos, and Central Coast of California should be capped, and a whole bunch of stuff that is shouldn't be capped. And then where you have the proposal submission, you have a really weak sentence. If there are discrepancies between the copies, the master copy will be used to resolve them.
Resolve any difference between the two?
Well, I think we need some kind of a better sentence
there.
I'm nitpicking, but...
That's fine.
It makes us look bad or not look bad. It is something that represents me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that we've gotten past having to have a babysitter at the table to make sure that we follow the Brown Act and all that stuff. But we haven't got past the fact that we are a small community water district. And the water laws in California are very, very different than any other state. And just for example, there's a water law coming down right now, AB 240, that's going to change what, mutual water companies can do and things. And so for us, I think it's far more prudent and more on topic to have a water attorney, somebody who really understands California law when it comes to water and aquifers, because it's only going to get more and more complicated as time goes by, and it's pretty darn complicated now. But there is a bill that's going to change mutual water companies to act more like us, and so that's going to broaden the field for a lot of people around us. And so I think it's in Oceana's best interest to really beef up this RFP to speak to water, because we are a water and sewer company. Sewer just in the sense of pipes. But,
and by beef it up, how? What do you suggest?
I really would suggest that we beef it up to be water legal counsel, because, it costs so much money to facilitate the cat fights. It's just not worth it, Releasing public information, everything goes to the attorney. It's just a waste of money, a waste of time. And so we've already gone through all that. We've regurgitated it. We can act civil and public. We know what to do now, I don't think we need to be handheld so much on our day-to-day operations and being responsive to the community. So I would really strongly encourage this lead off as a water attorney.
I don't know whether we could possibly afford a real water attorney, but somebody
Well, we're
has
paying
some
for
background.
One now.
One
we're
of
paying
the
for one now. And his name is Henry Weinstock.
Oh, yeah.
And we've paid millions.
Yes.
And we'll continue to pay. So either we pay here at the table or we pay behind the scenes. But the bottom line is we're going to pay. So
The research I've been doing, and there are firms that have, like, they might have lawyers that specialize in CSDs, but they also in their firms have people who are water attorneys, people
right.
who are labor attorneys, and so they have that resource to go to, so that, like, for example, well, that is the example. If they don't know the answer on water, they have an in-house resource to go to. And to me, when I've researched that, that's very attractive. Mm-hmm. That's very attractive. They don't have to reinvent the wheel. They know that they could go to Karen White and say, tell me what I need to know on this issue, and get there.
Are they here?
Yes.
In this area?
Yes.
Yes. The area is being flooded with water attorneys and people in the water. We're almost the only place left on the Central Coast, on the coast of California, that has water.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and we are under attack, you know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a hostile environment almost if you have any water. So.
My own two cents on that is that you're sort of talking about two different niches. Water law is, as you said, so complicated. And, Henry has worked on that case since
I was
in junior high school. It's so specialized that those attorneys tend to only take on a few cases in their career.
I think 1993 is when he started.
Yeah,
right?
It's hard to, find an attorney, a single attorney who can embody both, that level of water expertise and then marry it with all of the other subspecialties that they need to know to help manage or help advise a CSD like this one. And I'm not just talking about, Brown Act stuff. I'm talking about all the other things that go along with it, like employment and those kinds of things. So if it were... But I hear what you're saying, too. If I were to make a recommendation, I could revise the RFP to, beef up some of the water stuff and ask the attorney submitting to give us some explanation as to what experience they have with utilities and water, or what experience members of their firm may have with the same thing. That way, we're still putting the emphasis on kind of the general specialist of municipal law, CSD, that kind of person, but then also trying to say, look, water is a big deal to us too, because that's going to be a huge part of our future. So maybe something like that, in addition to correcting all the typos and whatnot.
Just a couple of typos, but there's a lot of capitalizations that don't make any sense.
Well, I can talk to you about them later.
I don't mean to pick on you.
That's okay. People pick on me. It's fine.
But you could certainly add some more to the scope of work listing.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I mean. The scope of work, I can add to that. I can also ask them to submit more information on their water expertise when they
send us
their resumes. And
I'd like to approve it tonight if we can, because of the short timing we have
sure.
on this. And so what scope of work would you like to expand, Karen? What language would you like to add for expanding that?
Well, we were talking about...
Water?
Water. We have the first one here is advise the OCSD Board of Directors and Management Staff on special district legal matters, including the Brown Act parliamentary procedures for running meetings and public official conflict of... Well, we should add...
Labor
water,
law.
Labor
water.
Law and water right there. They should be...
Well, I wouldn't even...
No? What do you want, Mary?
I wanted to say water. I don't want it to say facilitating catfights. Because that's what it says, basically running meetings, public official conflict requirements.
But
if you cannot figure out that you are in conflict of interest, then, you have a moral dilemma bigger than a conflict.
Well, I think item number four, or bullet point number four, which is advise the Board of Directors, General Manager, and Staff on commencement of defense of litigation and litigate such issues as directed, semicolon, water law, semicolon, labor law.
But if you could move that to the top.
Yeah. Have it.
Because this is something that a parliamentarian can do. Not legal counsel. Somebody who is a...
Well, it just says advise.
Secretary could do these things.
Correct.
Anybody can go to, do some Brown Act trainings and stuff and come in and facilitate a meeting. But they can't facilitate a water class action suit, and that it doesn't say in here... What I suspect we'll get is about probably 20 or 30 hungry attorneys.
We may.
Yeah. That are just very general emergency room. I don't know how to say it nicely.
No, solo practitioners?
Yeah.
You know, hang out where the ambulances come in, attorney types. You know, I don't know.
At least they're hanging out there instead of chasing them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, the whiplash guys. But if we could lead off with saying, we're a small water district who needs, you know, legal counsel on water issues, on, you know, ballot measures, on, you know, things that have gotten us in trouble and have cost us a fortune in the past.
Well, we kind of have that when we're saying the community services district, water agencies, cities, or other local governments.
I think I get the picture, though. I mean, I beef up the water. I think I can do that.
Water labor.
Sure. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I get where you're coming from.
Let's add that. Let's you know say it out loud so we can prove it tonight.
Put it at least first. Yeah.
Yeah. And put that move bullet point number four to the top.
Yeah.
And then add those. I think I count two items: water and labor.
Labor.
Sure. Right.
And you know, I don't. For some reason, I always felt a little uncomfortable having legal counsel write employee. I think it's fine to review employee applications, but when we had you writing RFPs and reviewing minutes, and that's staff stuff, I think. And it just kind of we got in that. I guess into that mindset of being comfortable, just send it to Chase, he'll clean it up.
Well, don't
send it to Chase, you know.
And don't forget.
I don't want to do that anymore.
No, that makes sense. And don't forget though that just because this is just the RFP.
Yeah.
This is just the part where they just send in their information and say, hey, pick me.
Right.
You know, when you interview them, you can control them and cut their, you know, services or, you know, tailor it how you want. So
but then you have the good water guy who's around the corner up the street and down the block, right? And he looks at that and he goes, well, I do law and water and land use. And
I'll tell you that there are not many.
And he won't many even apply.
There are,
so if we can move four and
yeah,
beef it up,
sure.
Say, you know.
Add water and labor.
Right, because we have a ballot initiative that went forward that, you know, it was good intended, and everybody, you know, the community supported it. There were some of us board members who supported it. But the language hurt us. And that's where, you know, we should have had legal counsel in there directing the language on that. So it didn't hurt us. Because it did hurt us.
Well, the language on it didn't come from here, though.
It wasn't a board action.
Right. Yeah. That was a citizen action.
Still, I don't think the citizens that put it forward would have been opposed to some guidance.
We couldn't have done that, though. We'd have been in conflict.
But, okay, fine. But do you get the point, though?
Yeah.
I do.
I definitely get the point. Beef it up.
Got it.
Got it. So with those particular beefs.
Yep.
With yeah, those patties, beef patties, shall we say. Okay. Any other changes?
Central Coast of California, Central Coast is capped.
Central Coast of California is capitalized.
Thank you.
Got it.
And that other sentence.
Yeah, Central Coast. It's on item number two for a sentence.
NC. Proposal submission. Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry I'm such a bitch about these things.
That's okay.
Item number three, on the bullet point number three is provided.
I should say, no, you're not. You're like...
Was that a tacit admission?
Yeah.
You work for the DA.
Yeah.
You can do that now.
No, he doesn't work there till August 5th.
No.
Bullet point number three, provide legal advice to the general manager and district staff, and I think it's to say, and also the board of directors, the BOD.
Can we take the first bullet and drop it down to the bottom?
Sure.
Just so it doesn't appear to be like our focal point anymore. I'm tired of this issue.
Sure.
And the second bullet, I don't know if we even need it, attend board meetings as requested.
Oh, that they should know that that's an expectation.
Oh, okay.
That's not, I mean, that's just, that's more for them.
Okay.
And I think since
seems pretty obvious.
It does, but you never know. You want them to, when they submit their proposal, you want them to know going in, you know.
There's night work.
These are the aspects of the job that I need to be aware of.
Yeah, okay.
I have to work at night sometimes.
The third from the bottom, advise the general manager and a board of directors on legal issues pertaining to the staff with respect to their service or employment at the OCSD. I think that's covered under labor. We could probably, we call it labor and employment, and so we could probably delete that bullet point because it's covered now in our first bullet point, which would include water, labor, and employment. Other than that, does anybody have any issues with the timeline?
Man, that's short.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we're going to get a frenzy.
21 days? Okay.
Joy, joy.
Well, we're going to need a new,
all we can do,
a new council, so.
Yeah, we're going to get, sooner or later, we got some issues looming.
Can we take out promptly return? Makes it sound like we're very demanding people.
You are very demanding.
Yeah. I hear it at home.
Is anyone keeping track of which bullet point is number one, number two?
Kind of got a running tally going on over here.
What is number one?
Number
Water.
One was former number. Number one is the former number four.
And it's going to read something like advise the board on water, labor,
and employment.
I think that whatever the first bullet point is, it should make it clear that the attorney will be working for the board and not the general manager.
Right.
Okay.
I mentioned something about legislative action.
What about it?
Just even updates.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so provide updates to the board as to changes in law and such. Okay.
Like AB 240, maybe.
That's right. Or the changes that are coming in storm drain runoff.
Yeah.
I can't remember those numbers.
Maybe advise updates on law and something like that as necessary.
Yeah, that's what I thought. If we pulled out some of the, facilitating, who talks to who crap, and kind of got down to really, it's really about.
I agree. I mean, they should know how to do that too. I mean, they need to have expertise in those areas, and whether or not you want to use them for that is up to you.
Right.
So.
Wow.
Then the only on the very last page above B, the last paragraph above B, said the top attorneys. I think we should have some parentheses around the S because it could be a solo practitioner, for example, if it's somebody like Mike Seitz.
I put that in there a number of times, attorney / firm or, things like that. I maybe just missed it on the last one.
Okay. That's fine. Because if there was a solo practitioner who was well qualified, I'm not opposed to, that.
Isn't that on C? Interested attorneys and or firms?
Yeah.
Should submit one.
Gary, any other? Been here before.
Yes. No, I'm fine.
Okay. Chuckling. Any other additions or changes? Lori, anything else?
I don't think so. Right. But I'm with Mary. I think we need somebody that really understands the water issues and through the state.
Okay. Karen, anything else?
Oh, I don't think so.
Mary?
No.
All right. I'll move to approve as modified this RFP.
Second.
All right. Why don't we do a roll call vote? All right. I'm first up. And
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes. All right. Carries 4-0. We'll look forward to this being posted tomorrow. Thank you for your work there, Chase.
Oh, but he's going to do the corrections before it's
correct.
Posted, right?
Yes. Yeah. As modified, it was approved as modified.
Okay. Butch.
It'll be Butch.
Okay.
Item 10C, discuss and consider adopting a new written policy on the length of board meetings. I think this started when Karen pointed out that she was turning into a pumpkin. And so we thought about it some more, and I went to Gary and said, why don't we formalize this? And because we also, this also follows the discussion about the AGP's contract is for 3 hours. We've got 3 hours, and after that it costs us a whole bunch more money. So if we try to limit ourselves and get the business done within that 3 hours, we save everybody's brain cells and money. So, Gary, do you have anything you want to add? There was a written staff report.
Well, I mean, I tried to craft some language that addressed the issue that Director White brought up. But then I found one that was existing somewhere else, and I modified it. I think I sent a copy out for you all. And it's pretty straightforward. It says no regular meeting will be conducted past 9:30. That's what I modified was the time. At that time, the meeting will be continued to a time and place acceptable to a majority of the board members present to consider any items where action is necessary prior to the next regular board meeting. If a second meeting is held and continues until 9:30 p.m., then that meeting will be adjourned and the remaining agenda items will be continued to the next regular board meeting. So what that contemplates is that if you decided, say, this evening that there were items that you didn't want to hear, you'd schedule a meeting between now and your next regular meeting and conduct it that way. And if that still carries over, whatever's left would go to the next regular meeting. Then it goes on to say adjournment at 9:30 may be disregarded by means of a motion to suspend the rules, that's this rule, if seconded and approved by a vote of 2/3 of the board members present. It's pretty straightforward. That came from the jurisdiction that I worked for 32 years. It worked quite well.
I like just extending the time.
I beg your pardon?
I like the one that just extends the time. Yeah. You know, so at 9:25, somebody has to make a motion to extend
right.
the meeting for 15 more minutes. Or however long.
Right. You know, and
yeah.
Mary, you guys remember the days when we went past midnight all the time?
Yeah.
I was dead the next day.
I think it was 2 o'clock in the morning on a couple.
Yeah. I was unable to function.
No, we just sat there staring at each other.
If we adjourn to a second meeting, that's pretty costly.
Can be.
For 15 minutes, if we wanted to do 15 minutes worth of business.
Well, I think that's what Gary is suggesting, is that
yeah.
if we think we need 15 more minutes, we'll make a motion to approve for 15
yeah.
more minutes of time. That'll okay. keep everybody task-oriented.
Moving.
Yeah.
Right.
I support it.
All right.
Yeah.
So does this need to be a...
policies and procedures.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, does this need to be a resolution, or can we just... do we need to vote on it, or is it just...
Well, I think it should go into your meeting policy document.
Okay.
And that probably will have to be done by a resolution to make it stick. So we'll see where we can plug it in for you and bring it back.
Okay. Why don't we?
But I would like to know which language you prefer.
I think I like your second proposal.
Okay.
I do as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, we like this proposal number 2. Gary, if you'll bring that back on. I should announce I'm going to miss my first meeting in a long time on the 24th because Van Halen's Only California Show.
Good
job. You got to have your priorities.
I've been thinking about that.
I saw them once with Sammy. This time's with David, so I'm looking forward to that. So if we could bring that back. You can bring it back on the 24th as long as we have a
okay.
forum. That'll be fine.
Oh, let's do a public meeting there. We can do a conference call. We can post at the conference. At the conference. I mean, at the...
Who lives in Shell Beach?
I'll go post at the gate.
Post it at the gate. And then somebody can go looking for you.
Oh, I'll cell phone in running with the devil for you. So that'll be...
I suggest we move on.
All right, let's do that, or we will be here past 9:30. You know, that hasn't passed yet, so we can keep talking.
Well, he's going to present it as a resolution. We don't have to pass it.
Item number 10D, approve renewal of the contract Water System Consulting, otherwise known as WSC. I think this was Mary's idea to bring this back, right, Mary?
Yeah, we had set it to the side, and we had not taken action on it. So with the budget being tight and Lori and I not having a clear, cohesive understanding of the value of having WSC on board, I didn't support it as much as I support it now. Sometimes it's hard to get people together and keep them on track as to what the tasks are unless you have somebody who, that's their job, is to facilitate, bring it all together, and keep it moving. And WSC, you know, when we went to them and told them that we were really short on the budget and we were somewhat concerned, they talked to us about how money had been spent in the past, how traditionally the bodies contributed, the four entities that they facilitate between GEI, PISMO, Oceano, Arroyo Grande, and Grover, that they had gotten a long ways. And so they told us about how Oceano had solely stepped up to the plate to pay for things that could have been divided. And so at this point, I'm not going to talk about the money. I'm going to turn it over to Jocelyn, who's going to talk about how we track the buck down to put towards this contract. And then I'll probably make a motion that we accept this contract because we do need them.
Before you make that motion, once we're done dealing with these charges, I need to amend the staff report.
Okay.
Okay.
Why don't you go ahead and amend that first?
All right. The dollar amount of the contract has dropped from our share having been $23,704 to our share, that is the district share, being $18,480. And in the staff report, the exhibit that was provided by WSC shows on page 3, task 2, a cost of $24,880 for a deep percolation analysis. Mm-hmm. That has been removed. So the total cost has been reduced by that, and consequently our share has dropped to the $18,480. So the staff recommendation is now that you execute an amendment on the amount not to exceed $18,480, not $23,704.
Great.
And I will amend the staff report for the record.
And I have to tell you, WSC was really great on talking to us about the mm-hmm. transducer, talking to us about the monitoring of the wells, and working with us and going back over past contracts where line items have not been completed and modifying those contracts to credit that. And so we were able to, you know, find that, and Jocelyn worked very hard on this as well, find that that additional money. So, and we have a credit coming for the past contract, right? Don't look at me that way. For the percolator, that it didn't occur, the perk test didn't occur, so they were going to change the contract and credit us on that.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I just amended the staff report to.
Oh, okay.
That's the 18,480.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jocelyn, you have something to...
No. Yes. Wait a minute.
Oh,
go back.
Not yet.
$7,150 was... $7,150 is spent on transducers, correct?
I wanted to talk to you about that.
Okay, great.
Okay, so I've been included in the emails about the transducer that was paid for. And when we found the invoice, the way GEI provides their invoices is they provide the invoice with all the support for the invoice. So sometimes they will hire a contractor, and so that contractor's bill would be included with the GEI bill. And we found, or I found in the December invoice that we paid in December, there was a installation of the transducer and the analysis of the well 3, or observation of well 3. Which was the one we've been trying to track down. And that was included in the GEI bill that was allocated correctly to all the districts. So I'm not sure why they said that. I sent that email to you and to Daniel at WSC, showing him the invoice that shows the installation of the transducer invoice that was with our regular GEI bill that gets prorated by our 900 acre feet allotment. And so with that being said, he told us that we were going to get a credit for the amount that we paid, because we should have only paid our portion. In the email that he sent us, he said, you know, this will be the credit, but I haven't received the invoice showing this. So he had requested from GEI, and he requested it from us. So I was looking everywhere trying to find this $7,100 invoice, and I didn't find an invoice that we paid for $7,150, actually. And what I did find was that invoice was included with all the GEI stuff that did get allocated. So I think WSC was misinformed on how that was actually paid. I do believe, if you look at the way the invoice reads, that all the agencies did pay a portion of that transducer and the observation wells. So I emailed it to WSC.
Well, we're going to work more on that, because Arroyo Grande is saying that they kept telling the leadership of OCSD we split it four ways, and they were insistent upon paying for it.
Well, what's funny is that I think that when you get so used to getting these GEI bills and you just see them, they're like a stack
There could be a lot that's being misinterpreted as we all discuss all of this. And that invoice, Jocelyn only found that invoice today.
Okay.
And that needs to be studied. But, you know, we'll report back to you what the outcome is.
Okay. So, great.
And then also, as far as the approving of the contract, so then we would have to amend our budget for the $18,000 or the revised number. Earlier we discussed, or at the previous budget meeting, we discussed borrowing money from a different fund to pay for the purchase of the excess water this year. And we had discussed using our borrowing money from the sewer fund, but I was going to talk to you guys today about possibly not borrowing it from the sewer fund, but rather the garbage fund, because I do anticipate sewer needing to use their money in the future, more near future than the garbage fund. And so I think that even though the sewer fund has the most money out of, and I gave you guys a list of the cash status of all the funds, so the sewer fund does have the most money and could support the loan. The garbage fund could also support the loan, and I think that, with that being said, we should amend it so that the, when I do the budget adjustments, that the loan actually comes from the garbage fund, and possibly paying for this $18,000 with a similar loan from the garbage fund.
From garbage to water.
That's correct. With the interest rate, and the interest rate that I'm proposing is going to be the prime rate, as of the current prime rate.
5.5?
No, I believe it is.
Might be up to 6 today.
No, the prime rate is actually 3.25.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it'll be a very similar loan agreement with a payment schedule like the one you approved during the budget cycle.
Okay, great.
Do we need to do that tonight, or can we approve the contract tonight and bring it back for our quarter-year budget adjustment that we've been answering about?
You can approve the contract tonight, direct staff to prepare the loan agreement, and bring it back to you for your information.
Okay, okay. Let's do that. Karen, do you have any other questions?
Not really.
Okay. Mary, is there a motion?
Thanks, Bud.
Actually, let me go back before you do. And you said you know have reasons that you think this is a good thing to a good contract to go into. Can you lay out a couple of those for the so we can have those on the record?
Well, one, they, and Lori, please chime in at any time.
Okay.
One is that they, you know, AG, they get off and do their thing, and Arroyo Grande does their thing, and Pismo is over in their world doing their thing, and this is like the twice a month where all the cities that have vested interest and have been in this legal fight for our groundwater allocation has to do the annual reports to the courts, can get together and collaborate on what we're doing, you know, who's doing what, you know. And so when the threat of saltwater intrusion came out and there was you know, a big fight over was there salt, wasn't there salt, you know. It was about quality, you know. And so I asked a really good question the other day, I think was a good question. It's like, what does that groundwater basin look like? And, you know, everybody at the table just kind of gave me this blank stare and said that I don't know what it looks like. Well, I found that to be, like, unbelievable that you did not know what your basin looked like. I just couldn't believe it at this 2013, and we don't know what this aquifer looks like. We don't know what the water source is coming in, the water source is going out. So, you know, so Oceano has 900 acre feet of groundwater, and what's to protect us from keeping that? What's to protect us from that being used in, you know, in other areas of Oceano, you know? So WSC, they bring them together, they keep it on track, they propose the transducers, which I'm working on being sold on the idea, you know. I think I would have felt better with sonograms, but, you know, whatever. And, you know, PG&E, maybe they'll share their data with us. But anyway, they do bring that cohesiveness of a group and a sense of we're all in this together versus being fragmented.
Okay. Yeah, and they're really good at that. If you're not quite following the path, they'll kind of lead you down and let you see what's going on, because for so long I couldn't figure out what they were doing because we weren't getting any information. So this has been enlightening, to say the least, and it's like paperwork to read and go through and get it all sorted out with all the different elements that are involved. But meeting with them was really good because we got a sense of how everybody's thinking, and they're very cooperative with us and everybody else too. So it's I'm very happy with it. At least now I can ask stupid questions and they don't look at me funny.
Well, they don't like the banking idea. They just like, I thought one of them was going to hit me or something. But, you know, so we're kind of at toe-to-toe on banking because we have 900 acre feet of groundwater underneath our feet. Oceano pays for that water. We're not using that water. So somebody's using it.
Yep.
You know, who's using it? Because it's the basin, it is 25% down. You know, so who's using our water? Where's our 900 acre feet contribution going to? You know, why can't we bank that water? Well, Henry Weinstock, our $500 an hour water attorney, says we don't have to ask permission from anybody to bank our water. You know, it's basically a paper trail to begin with anyway, you know. You don't know what the basin looks like. So, you know, it's kind of on paper.
Yeah, I think that's going to have to be resolved. It has to be resolved,
you know. So
we don't
they
know what
follow up. So right. I think that it's a valuable contract, and I don't say that often.
Thank you, Mary. Is there a motion? Is there a motion to approve then?
I move that we accept the contract for WSC.
I'll second.
All right. Marie, would you do a roll call vote for us, please?
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. Contract passes 4-0. Move on to item number 10E, Resolution 2013-12, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District confirming the charges against property owners for the collection of delinquent solid waste collection charges and directing staff to forward the charges to the county auditor for collection. I think we've seen this before.
Now, if we were a mutual water company, we couldn't do that.
That's true.
Did you know that?
No.
That's something
I learned
you did
that
learn,
today
yeah.
on AB 240.
We do have it. There's a list of 11 customers. The totals amount of a little over $2,000 for sewer expenses. Is there any further board discussion on this?
Is this a thing?
Well,
if I live within so many feet or have property within,
I don't think so, because
it's
a resolution. Chase, you're on the spot. I don't think we have to recuse ourselves if we're in 500, because it's something that goes specifically for the whole community.
Okay, good.
Right.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to double check before I stuck my foot in my mouth.
That's okay.
Now they don't get shut off, do they? They just get leaned.
They get tax collector. It goes on the tax roll.
It goes on the
tax property.
Yeah.
For how long?
Until it's paid.
So it could just accumulate up to more than the land is worth?
Potentially, probably could. It'll accumulate interest, I'm sure, and collection expenses for the county. Okay. It's cheaper to pay your bills.
Mm-hmm. Well, I find it is. Sleep better.
It really is.
Cheaper to clean your property.
I move that we accept
bills.
Resolution 2013-12, tax lien on the following 11 addresses.
All right. Is there a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Marie, if you can give us a roll call vote.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
And Director Angelo?
Yes.
It's resolution 2013-12 passes by a vote of 4-0. I'll be in to sign it sometime later in the week. Moving on to item number 10F, resolution 2013-13, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District confirming the charges against property owners for the collection of delinquent utility charges and directing staff to forward the charges to the county auditor for collection. I think last time we had two people, now there is only one person on this particular list. For an amount of $162.02.
That's amazing.
I really commend staff for having got the collections up
yes.
to speed.
Yes.
You know, what's interesting is, so are people, some people paying their water charges and they're not paying the sewer? How is that?
That's not sewer that you voted on before. That's garbage.
Garbage. Oh, excuse me.
Right.
Okay.
And my understanding is when it goes to the tax rolls, you don't get to pick and choose what you pay. You have to pay the whole bill.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, which is fine. Okay. If there's no further board discussion, is there a is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2013-13 for services district confirming charges against property owners for the collection delinquency of utility charges.
All right.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Marie, roll call vote, please.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. Resolution 2013-13 passes by a vote of 4-0. Moving on to item number 10G, repeal resolution. This is a motion, or excuse me, let me start that over again. This is to repeal resolution 2012-15. The resolution of the Oceano Community Services District establishing the Oceano Farmers Market Committee, a standing committee of the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors. This has been visited at numerous other meetings and was addressed by Ms. McLaughlin earlier this evening that they are starting their own nonprofit. So this resolution here would be to allow them to peel away, although is there any other board discussion on that?
The funds that were initially established for this, what happens with those? Oh, I'm sorry.
That's a good question. Director Angelo had a question about the funds. I think the OCSD spent around $3,000, plus or minus. Do you know, Chase, are they responsible to pay those back, or is it considered something that's already spent?
It's already spent because the process, and Jocelyn can maybe help me with this, but the process was it was a transfer from our general fund into Parks and Rec. It was spent out of Parks and Rec in an established standing committee. So it wasn't wrongfully spent. It was they're not responsible to pay it back. However, to effectively repeal this, I'll need to draft a resolution for you to sign at your next meeting, and you can probably clean up the two at the same time. I don't know how much is left over, but it might be worthwhile to look at, you know, repealing the old resolution and then also transferring the funds from whatever's left over in Parks and Rec back into general or something like that. And I don't know if we can do that, but
the way the general fund is set up is that it has the fire, street lighting, and Parks and Rec, and so any remaining will go into the general fund's unrestricted balance. So it's not going to be set aside for Parks and Rec for future use. It's just going to get rolled back over into the general fund unrestricted.
Which seems to make sense because other than the farmer's market, we didn't really have any other Parks and Rec expenditures. So the resolution that I would propose that you direct me to write would be repealing the resolution from back in 2012 creating the farmer's market and also transferring whatever remaining funds are in the Parks and Rec back into the unrestricted general fund.
Okay, and that would be not passing this resolution then?
Well, that's not a resolution. That's just, I think that's just a discussion item.
Discussion to repeal it, okay.
No.
No.
Or is it?
Well, it says repeal resolution. Yeah.
This staff report.
Is there a resolution?
Well, this staff report was written by Director Hurdle. And it came back. It's on the agenda as a rollover item when I first came to work for you.
No, right.
And it was pulled. And then at the last meeting, the farmers market folks said that, yes, they would like to have it repealed.
Yeah.
So it's just that original staff report, and I changed the date on it.
Correct. And this, what G says is repeal resolution 2012, but you need the actual resolution repealing the 2012-15. See,
oh,
as okay. What I understand, I what it says, what the resolution was back in 2012 was resolution of the Oceano Community Services District establishing the Farmers Market Committee, a standing committee. That was the resolution that we passed back in 2012. You need a resolution to now repeal that one.
Right.
And at the same time, write it in such a way that it moves whatever money was put over in the Parks and Rec back into the unrestricted. That's
okay.
My recommendation.
Okay.
I have a legal question.
Sure.
If the author of the original motion is no longer a director, my understanding is that it has to be the original author that pulls it. I guess since the original director, the director that proposed it, isn't at the table any longer, would it have to be the person who seconded the motion?
That's a Roberts Rules type of question, I think.
Yeah, we don't need an attorney for that. We can take care of that ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay, Gary.
Yeah.
Because I think I know the answer, but, you know, go for it.
Yes.
I mean, this Director Hurdle was a director when I came to work for you.
Yeah.
And this was on your agenda,
and the
board opted to pull it and wait to hear what the response was from the group.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the group said, please do this.
So okay. I think we're fine.
Yeah. So I mean, I'll agendize it for you as a brand new item with a brand new resolution for the next meeting.
That's the thing. You know, what I'm, no one has said anything yet, but I'm understanding the direction will be. We are going to resolve to repeal this, and we're also going to resolve to move the money back over into the general unrestricted.
And I think we should.
What do they call it? Fund A.
Yeah, unrestricted fund balance.
Okay.
But Gary, can't it's just the maker of the motion withdraw the motion?
Yes.
And it's done.
Yes.
Right. So I don't know if you guys want to keep doing this, but you don't have to do it as a second. I was a second on that motion.
Oh.
So I'm withdrawing my second on resolution 2012-15. That puts it back up on the table.
Then how about the money that was spent?
Oh.
The money's a separate issue.
I'm not sure we can do that.
Well, I just my understanding is once a resolution has been passed, it takes a resolution to repeal it. So
it takes the maker of the motion to repeal it.
Okay, but it still has to be, you know, because it was something that was voted on by the board as a body. But yeah, you're right. So someone made the motion, you seconded it, then the board as a whole adopted it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, my understanding is that you can't repeal a resolution by just withdrawing a second because, or the motion maker just saying, I'm not going to make that motion now, because it could be 5 years later and then they're and all of a sudden it's invalid. I think that you have to do it by resolution.
Okay.
Yeah, the maker of the motion can, or the second, can withdraw it to pull back the motion, but a resolution is supposed to provide legal certainty.
Right. Okay, so do it that way, that's fine. But I just need to make a clarification. It was a standing committee of the Parks and Recs, not a standing committee of the board.
So you can clean that up. We'll direct legal counsel to go ahead and do that. It's probably going to be Molly.
One other question on the resolution. Mary Lucy said she seconded it, but it shows that she was absent. But she wasn't absent. I was absent.
In 2012, this occurred, right?
Yes,
No. I guess I wasn't absent. But I.
Whatever.
It's weird. It's weird. Let's get rid of it.
So that'll be the direction to legal counsel then?
Yep.
We'll move on to item number 11, the will serve extensions.
Do we have to vote on this?
No, we just gave them direction to create to do a resolution rescinding that resolution and to move the money back.
Okay.
And then it will be.
That'll be on the agenda meeting.
So and then we'll never do this again, right?
I don't know.
We might.
Yeah.
We might be back.
I'm just teasing.
We'll move on to item number 11, the will serve extensions, the people self-help housing. Now, the reason this came in, I have to look at the, what was the address on it? Because you and I were recusing ourselves. Yeah. And was this the one?
That's on Paso Robles and
I can't hear you.
15th Street. Paso and 15th Street. Is that correct? Paso.
Hang on.
What the how the 15th and
self-help
Paso
housing.
Self-help is on 15th and Paso.
Yeah, so I got to recuse myself.
So okay. Do you have to recuse yourself too?
No.
I think I'm okay on this one too.
No,
I don't think
no,
I'm
we're
with
fine.
You.
Okay.
We're
right.
I'm not.
So Director Angelo is going to recuse herself. That means we have three people left who can vote on this will serve extension. And I'll make a motion to approve this will serve extension.
Second.
All right. I think Karen got there first. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Carries 3-0. Director Angela, you can come back. Moving on to item 11A, 7, Brinks APN OCSD project number. This is a will serve extension on Front Street. This one I might be the one that I had the.
It's over by Melodrama between. Between Hamburger and Melodrama.
This one I'm within 500, so I'll pass the gavel.
Sylvester's Hamburger, or whatever the name.
This is the one right behind Sylvester's Hamburger, and I'm pretty sure I'm within 500 feet of it.
You're not even within 500 feet. Lori is. Laundromat, you're not.
I get that.
Know where the laundromat is. I have an ownership interest in the laundromat. Obviously.
I don't think you're 500 feet, though. Are you?
You're on your laundromat.
I own the laundromat, yeah. Which is an ownership.
He doesn't own the land.
I own the business, though. That's a property right.
Splitting hairs.
So the problem is we don't have a quorum then. We should probably put this
on.
Lori, she owns property with him. So what I'm thinking is that we should probably put it on Saturday's agenda in case we appoint somebody.
Too late. Saturday's agenda is already out.
No?
Actually, it seems to me that the district, in a situation like this where a 2-2 vote would be no action, you have the right, you have the ability to draw a straw for one of the recusals to vote on something like this, if I remember right. Does that ring any bells with you?
Uh-huh. It does.
Okay. I'll look it up.
Keep going, Gary.
Let's not
it rings the bell with me.
All right,
no,
well,
there's a rule like that.
Let's table this till the 24th then.
All right.
Let's just table this till the 24th.
Until we have
are
a
they time
director.
Sensitive? Until we have a fifth director. Are they time sensitive, do you know?
No.
I don't think that they are.
It doesn't look like they're doing much.
Well, for what it's worth, this gentleman came into the office and asked us to pull it because he said he didn't need it because he already had a building permit. He's had a second thought and he decided he really does need this. So, but he's this is not holding him up. I guess that's what I want you to know.
Oh, he has water and sewer services already?
He has a meter.
Yes.
These are just extensions.
We got a yard full of meters, too.
Yeah,
we do. Okay, let's move on to the will serve item 11B1 Chavez. This one's on Beach Street.
Which one? Wait a minute.
Will serve expansion of Efren's Deli. Okay, now I definitely.
No, you got to leave the room, Matt.
Yep.
Yeah, you gotta go.
I'm about 50 feet off of that, so I'll pass the gavel to you, Mary. And then, actually, before. That's the. Well, okay, go ahead.
That's the last one. Do we know if they're. Just out of curiosity, do we know if they've gotten their codes straightened out over there? I know that there was a violation of fog.
Oh, that's right.
Fats, oils, and grease.
No, I don't know if it's been resolved, but they have received a written order to correct it.
Okay, because the water and sewer company, I think that we have to be very, you know, even though we're not the Department of Health, you know, we have to be aware of what's going on. So.
No, you actually have a legal responsibility to deal with the fog issues.
Yeah. No, legally we have to deal with the fog issues, and there has been issues ongoing with this business. So, do I hear anybody who wants to make a motion, or do you want to fog around?
Let me see your paperwork.
I don't think we're feeling the love for some reason.
I'm still looking for the paperwork.
Efren's wants to expand.
Yeah, I know that. I've read it. Yeah. Here it is.
You got that one?
I'm fine. Good. I'm just out.
Well, should we find out about?
Before we approve it, should we find out if that's been done? Or?
You know, I think.
This should have been a whole new resolution.
You know, I would like to, maybe we could hold this to see if they're in compliance with their fog program. And I don't know how staff feels about that, but they have had, you know, some issues.
I don't know if we can.
Well, I think that.
And I know their rags have caught on fire in the dryers and stuff, so. But.
You know, it's entirely up to the board.
Hey,
you
wait
have.
A minute, you guys. We can't hear. Sorry. Go ahead, Gary.
It's entirely up to the board on how they want to deal with this particular item, but you have code enforcement regulations on the books that allow you to bring all the pressure you need to bring on this particular customer to deal with the oil and grease issue. So you don't need to use this to bring that business into compliance.
Yeah, they're gonna have, I'm sure the county's going to be checking that stuff too, isn't they?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but the way the program is set up, the responsibility is placed on you.
Yeah. How does the board sound about if we table this to the next meeting, we can get an update as to how they're doing with their fog program?
Well,
and if they've gotten their licensing straightened out again?
The problem I see is that they're. It's not like. It's a new business or anything. They're in business, and they're. I think they've already started doing what they're doing. Certainly, the outside of the building is painted orange already.
Well, yeah, but that's not what they're expanding.
Well, no, that's in the area they're expanding too.
I think it's the back patio that's been.
No, they're going to the next door over. One more.
Yeah. I don't know. I know that they recently have been penalized for their oils and fats not properly ridding it. So what does the board want to do, Lori and Karen? Here, Lori.
No, I'm just thinking.
Do you want to table it or do you want to take action on it? But we got to do something here.
Well, certainly, that next meeting is only 14 days from now.
Right. So we're going to table this to the next meeting.
Yeah.
How's that, Lori? We can get an update on their health status.
Okay.
The fats, oils, and grease, fine. That's within our jurisdiction. I don't understand precisely what's going on with the license, but if I'm understanding you correctly, it has something to do with public health.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So let's table this till the next meeting and get an update on, and I'll be happy to go by there. I mean, I eat there regularly, so, you know, see where they are with that. Because that's what clogs up our pipes and gets them all funky.
And costs us bundles of money.
Don't ever leave us again, Matt.
See what
you can't
happened.
Go to the concert.
I'm jealous. I'm
we tabled it for the fog program.
Okay. You guys can contact the Wallace Group is actually the ones who's running that, and the Sanitation District's going to take that back over probably next year when their fog contract ends, because John Clemens, who is the new plant, John Clemens, he's the new plant superintendent over at the Sanitation District, has like some specialty in training and some awards in his fats, oil, and grease endeavors that he's done in the past, and so he's probably the best guy in the county to run that, and he happens to be right here.
Great.
So we're going to have him take that over.
Well, I think that's appropriate because the treatment plant is the plant that really has to deal with the end product, and
correct.
A lot of emulsifiers that can be used to eliminate the problem in that you have in a grease interceptor, and then that just moves it through the sewer system, and then the treatment plant has to deal with it.
Mm. Yeah. And I think they got a warning when this happened that it's coming. I think Aaron had called them and warned them. And so,
well, they had a blockage.
Yeah. And they were out there cleaning it all weekend long. And, you know, one of the things about Efren's, perhaps we could put it on a future agenda item and be finding out the viability of sending them a bill for the sewer and our overtime that we spent cleaning their blockage. Assuming it was their blockage, I think we were...
I agree with you. One of the, you know, I haven't been here very long, but I think there are a number of opportunities out there for recovering costs that the board has not addressed in the past.
Okay.
And you know, it's not unusual for a jurisdiction to charge for services that should be paid for by an individual as opposed to the community.
Mm-hmm. And I would approve of that if you could identify some of those. For the ratepayers, that'd be greatly appreciated, Gary. But that's one of them. I thought that if you know, Casey was out there, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 hours, something like that, with a plumber on a weekend, paying weekend rates to jet the system. So that'd be great. I think I've made all my comments tonight. Is there any board member comments moving on to item number 12?
No.
You know, I was out of town the last meeting when we passed the annual budget, and actually I did try to get on the call, and the main reason why I wanted to get on the call was to thank the staff for working so hard, Jocelyn and everybody working so hard, Marie, on the annual budget. I was really glad that it was clear and concise and well presented. Some weird things happened, though. I was in San Francisco at the time, and I had asked the manager if I could post for the meeting in their window when I came through San Francisco, and they said, yeah, that wasn't a problem. This was the night manager. And then somebody took it upon themselves to call my hotel several times, and the manager was quite upset. I had to speak to an attorney from Connecticut for the hotel. They were quite concerned about posting of this agenda. It was not on their roster of official business meetings that were being held there. And I almost lost my hotel room because people from the public were calling the hotel and identifying themselves as legal staff. And the manager was nervous. The legal counsel in Connecticut or wherever they were extremely nervous. And I almost lost my hotel room. Now, San Francisco had 2 million new visitors last weekend. It was the largest pride in the nation ever in the history of the U.S. If I would have lost that hotel room, I swear, there would have been problems. But what it did is it violated my right to privacy. That's what it did. The manager told them what room I was booked in, what time I was expected to check in, how many people were staying in my room, and to that end. There's one thing being a director, is another thing violating one's privacy. You know, I believe in governmental transparency, but when it comes to people's personal lives, you know, you don't pay me enough for this. You know, I'm sorry, you just don't pay me enough to impeach on my privacy. So if you think you're doing the right thing, I'm sure you are, but, you know, There's a big, thick, fat line between violating one's privacy and having the right to public information. And my life is not public.
Thank you, Mary.
So thanks.
Lori, is there anything you'd like to add this evening?
Did you do this one? Stephen Brink's?
Yes, that was we did the Stephen Brink.
No, are we sure?
Agenda item.
My Clark ticket.
We did.
Well, we got through the well
serves. Oh, okay, we did him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you have
a good time? Got it.
A party.
All right.
I don't have, actually, I'm on mute.
I don't have anything.
Okay. We'll move on to items 13 and 14, received written communications or late received written communications. Gary, do we have anything to add here?
No, sir.
Moving on to item number 15, future agenda items. Mary brought up this Assembly Bill 240, which sounds like it may have some import. I'd like to pull the language of that. This requires municipal water companies and CSDs, and the OCSD may want to weigh in and send a letter of support for this particular bill, or not supporting it, as the case. We haven't reviewed the language of it yet. Perhaps we can add that to the first meeting in August. We can add reviewing that. And there's like 5 weeks between now and then. We can take a look at it. We may pull it since then. But Gary, if you'll remind me to look at that assembly bill.
Yes, sir.
That'd be great.
Assembly bill?
Yeah. Yes, it is
AB 240.
Rendon's web page, you can get the PDF file on it. It actually makes people more accountable for the straws that they're putting in the ground and monitoring. And that's, you know, Oceano is where we have transducers. So we're monitoring. So, but this will definitely impact, because the private companies don't have to monitor. The farmers don't have to monitor. So we have a lot of people who don't have to monitor, and this is going to change how mutual water companies act.
Mm-hmm. So they'll have to monitor.
They're going to have to be accountable. They can't be doing the brown sludge through the pipes anymore and getting away with it, because they're not treating the water that they're servicing this one particular area, and that's what really drove it. And they're not transparent, and they're not open to the public, and they're not elected. They're just, it's bad. So I would love to see us talk about that and give a letter of support. And I'm sure Assemblyman Rendon would appreciate that too. And I don't know what his party affiliation is.
Karen, anything you'd like to add? All right. We'll move on to item number 15, we just did that. Item number 16, public comment. Is there any other public comment this evening? Item number 17, closed session, conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, initiation of litigation pursuant to paragraph 4 of subdivision D as in dog, of section 54956.9, one potential case. It is 8:20 p.m. and we'll adjourn into closed.
Yeah.
Do you have any comments you'd like to make? We can go back to that. Sure, Doug. Doug Groschart, everybody.
Good evening. I'm Doug Groschart with DPSI. Thank you for confirming our contract. It's been a pleasure working with you all in the past, and I look forward to continuing to work with you. And just to clarify one thing on our contract, it's an on-call service contract, meaning we're on call if you need us, but we're not billing you if you don't need us. So it's under, you know, it's at your direction. So it will be, you know, I'm just waiting on you guys to let me know when you want me to work on something, and then I will, and we'll establish an estimate ahead of time between Gary and I, or whomever the general manager is, and you know, and I understand the limits of the $7,500, all that. We won't go anywhere near that unless there's some large undertaking I'm unaware of. But one thing that I'd like to just say is thank you for having us. It's been a while, but look forward to working with you again, and good luck to you, Chase. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Okay. Well, at this time, it is 8:22 p.m. We'll adjourn into closed session.
Yeah.
We'll go that way. You can stop on the way. All right, well, call this meeting back to order. It is 9 o'clock, Oceana Community Service District. We've just returned from closed session. Chase? Thanks, sir. We've just returned from closed session, and there is no reportable action at this time. So is there a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Good night.
Aye.